If you've got your Bibles and want to turn with me to a moment, I'm going to read a passage from 2 Peter chapter 1 and also going to make reference to one verse in chapter 3. So if you want to open your Bible this morning to that small letter located back toward the end of your New Testament, I want to read a passage from chapter 1 here in just a moment. In the opening passage, I guess you could say, of this letter, Peter urged his readers to do something. And that is, he urges them to make every effort to grow in their faith. I want to begin reading, around verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. For this reason, and that reason would be because of what God has done for us through Christ. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, mutual affection. And to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing nature or measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Someone has compared the Christian life to riding a bicycle. Unless you keep moving, you fall off. Right? The implication of Peter's remarks in the opening passage of this letter are clear. As followers of Jesus, we cannot take our relationship with Him for granted. We have to keep growing. We have to keep moving in our relationship with Jesus, making every effort to add new layers of godliness and Christ-likeness and faith and obedience in our lives. If we stop growing, if we stop moving, Peter says we will become ineffective. We'll become unproductive. And at various parts in this letter, he even says that we may become susceptible to forces that might even cause us to lose what we've gained in Christ. And so Peter begins this letter with an admonition to keep moving, keep growing, keep adding to your faith these Christian virtues that the Spirit is developing in our life. And he closes this letter in chapter 3 and verse 18 with a similar admonition, but grow, he says, in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, in both the opening remarks of this letter and as he closes this letter, Peter has the same thing in mind for these readers, and that is, he is encouraging them, urging them to continue to grow, to mature, to develop in their walk with Christ, growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord is important. Thank you, Jesse. You're apparently the only one that believes that. Growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord is important. If we do that, Peter says, you'll live an effective, productive life for the Lord, and furthermore, you will position yourself to be richly welcomed into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If, on the other hand, we don't grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, if we don't mature and add varying deeper levels of faith and obedience, Peter says we are nearsighted and blind. Short-sighted. We have forgotten what this is all about. We have forgotten that we have been cleansed from our sins for a purpose. And that purpose is not just to go to heaven, but to look more and more like Christ. If we're not looking more and more like Christ, if we're not growing in our knowledge of the grace of Jesus Christ, if we're not adding those layers of faith and obedience, we have forgotten why we even began this race. And that is, as I've said, not just to one day go to heaven, but to allow His Spirit to reshape and mold us in the image of Jesus Christ. So, growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord is important. So, let me ask you a couple of questions. Knowing now what you know about the importance of growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, let me ask you this question. Do you want to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord in this coming year? I'm not necessarily asking you to verbally say anything or indicate by a show of hands. I just want you to think about that question. Do you want to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord this coming year? I hope your answer to that question is yes. Now, if you're among us this morning and you're not a follower of Jesus, then I don't expect you to answer that question. Yes, we get that. Thank you for being here. We're glad you're here. Hope you see something in us that would make you want to know more about Jesus. But if you're a follower of Jesus, if you're a baptized believer of Jesus seeking to follow Him, I hope your answer to that question is, yes, I want to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And if that is true, here is my second question. And my second question is, how do you plan to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord this coming year? Because you see, it's one thing to have the goal to grow. It's another way to have a plan for how to do it, right? We're still in January. January is the month for setting goals and making resolutions. Some of you probably made a typical resolution that a lot of people make around the start of a new year, and that is you're going to lose some weight, right? You're going to try and lose some weight this coming year. A lot of us make that resolution every year. But you know what? It's not enough just to make the resolution, is it? It's not enough just to say, I'm going to lose 20 pounds this year. If that's my goal as well, if we don't have a plan for how we're going to do that, it won't likely happen, will it? You can have the goal of increasing your customer base. Maybe you own a business or you're in business of some sort. You can have a goal of making more money this coming year than you've ever made. But if you don't have a plan for how you're going to do that, that probably will not happen, right? Well, we can have the goal, the desire of growing. We can be well-intentioned about this coming year and say, yeah, I want to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Yeah, I want to add layers of faith and obedience to my walk with Christ. We can say that, but if we don't have a strategy, a plan, an idea of how we're going to accomplish that, then likely come this time next year, we'll either be right where we are or we may have fallen off that bicycle. So it's wonderful that if you said, yeah, I want to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord this coming year, but if we don't have an idea, a plan, a strategy, a way of working toward that goal, then it's likely not going to happen. So here's what I want to do this morning. Have said all of that to say this. I want to throw out for you a plan, a strategy, a way, that a method that you can follow, some ideas, some action steps that you can take that I believe will help you grow, help us grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord this coming year. Now, if you don't like my plan, okay, come up with your own. What I'm trying to do for the next 20 minutes or so is simply to get you to think, what am I going to do? How am I going to ensure that over the course of this coming year, I grow in my walk with Christ? So that this time next year, I'm not in the same place or worse, even farther away from God than I am right now. What am I going to do? What can we do this coming year that will help us facilitate growth toward God, toward Christ, rather than falling farther away from Him? I'm going to give you six things. You say, oh my goodness, we're going to be here for a whole hour. No, we're going to go pretty quick. There are actually only three things, but the first thing I'm going to give you has three parts to it, okay? That might actually be five. I don't know. I'm not good at math. So you just take notes, and whatever you end up with this morning, you run with it, okay? So on the back of your pew announcement that you might have received as you came in this morning, you see a bunch of blank spaces. The weather messed up a lot of things this past week, and one of them was the notes that you might ordinarily have. So all you've got are blank spaces. But that gives you lots of space to write your own stuff. Five steps, or four or six or whatever it ends up being, all right? There's a reason why I'm not an accountant, Bobby. Step number one. Again, if you don't like my plan, come up with your own. But here's what I'm going to toss out for you this morning. Be faithful not only to God and Jesus this coming year, but also to this family of baptized believers. Be faithful not only to God and Christ. That's a given, okay? That's just a given. But in addition to being faithful to God and Jesus, also be faithful this coming year to this body of baptized believers known as the University Church of Christ. Now, there are three ways that I'm going to encourage you to be faithful to this body of believers over the course of the coming year. And if we will do these three things and commit ourselves to doing these three things, I'm convinced each one of them and all three of them collectively will help us to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. So, under being faithful, here is the first point I would like to make, and that is, be faithful to our weekly gatherings as believers in this family. I am dead serious about this. God wants His people to assemble regularly with each other, not so much for His sake and not so much for keeping rules, but He wants us to assemble with each other regularly because He knows it's good for us. Christians need to be together, both in large gatherings like this and in smaller gatherings like we provide throughout the week in this family. Scripture confirms this. This is not just Charlie's opinion. This is the teaching of Scripture. Writing to a group of Christians who were wavering in their walk and who were becoming ineffective and unproductive in that walk. In fact, who were even close to losing what they had gained in Christ, the writer of Hebrews said, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. What was the writer of Hebrews concerned about in that passage? He was concerned that some of the believers to whom he wrote that letter were giving up meeting together with other believers. Now, why was that a problem? It was a problem because he knew, the writer knew, that Christians benefit from being together. And when Christians stop getting together, bad things begin to happen. Listen, no one ever woke up on one Sunday morning and said, this is the day I quit. This is the day I no longer go to church. This is the day I'm done with it. This is the day I've decided that I no longer need the church thing. It usually doesn't happen that way. Here's how it happens. People begin to stop assembling regularly with other believers, and over time, they just stop coming. That's usually how it happens. You don't just wake up one morning and decide, I'm never going back. Now, maybe that happens, I don't know. But generally, how it happens is, over time, we just kind of get out of the habit of coming. And that takes us down a path that eventually makes it very easy to just stop completely. Here is something I'm convinced of completely. There is a direct correlation between our faithful participation in assemblies like this and our growth in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. I believe this with all my heart. We're not going to grow as disciples of Christ with an apathetic, take it or leave it, indifferent attitude toward being with other believers in both assemblies like this and in smaller gatherings throughout the week. You mark my word. If we begin to stop assembling with other believers, that's not going to draw us closer to God. That's not going to make it easier to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. God knows that His people need to be together. And we need to give focus to that, folks. Make a faithful commitment to be a part of weekly gatherings of other believers in Christ, whether it's in a large assembly like this or some of the smaller assemblies that we provide. If we're a part of those groups, that's going to facilitate our growth in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. Here's another one, number two. Mark kind of jumped into this last year, so I'm going to jump in here with him. Make a faithful commitment to financially support the works of this church. You say, well, what does that have to do with my growth in the grace and knowledge of Jesus? When we make a commitment to financially support the good works of this church, when you're a member of this church and you make a faithful commitment to financially support the works of this church, that discipline of making that commitment and maintaining it, even when maybe it's not easy to do it, is a good discipline, a good spiritual discipline to practice. We grow when we put our trust in God and trust Him to bless us through our actions. Okay? So making a commitment to financially support the good works of this church is one thing you can do to help discipline yourself to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. I want to say this. As a rule, we do not beat the financial drum from this pulpit very often. I do not think someone could fairly say, they could say it, but I don't think it would be fair. I don't think anyone could fairly say, all those folks care about the University Church of Christ is my money. You can say that, but I don't think it'd be fair. I don't think it's an accurate or fair statement. There may be some churches that beat that drum regularly. I do not think we're one of them. Mark and I very seldom, and even before Mark got on this, Richard and I very seldom preach about giving. We're not up here Sunday after Sunday hammering you saying, you got to give more, you got to give more, you got to give more. We just don't do that. But the fact that we don't do that doesn't mean that that's unimportant. Because it is important that we as a family make a commitment to financially support the works that we believe as a church God is calling us to do. And when we as a member of this family make that commitment to do that, that's a good commitment on our part to do. And being faithful to that commitment helps us grow in our walk with Jesus. Trusting God with our finances is an important process of our overall growth with Him. And so I'm just asking you, take that and think about it. That's a step that we can all take that will help us to grow in our grace and knowledge of Jesus. And number three under that first point is, make it a point to promote love in this family. According to Jesus, it's not the purity of our doctrine that identifies us as the people of God. It is not how well we do church, how well we follow the rules, how much we cross all the T's and dot all the I's. What identifies us as the church, what identifies us as the family of God, is how we love each other. And so I would say, be faithful to love your fellow believers in Christ. If we want to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord this year, let's commit ourselves to promoting love with positive talk and actions toward each other. Let's refuse to engage in gossip or slander or innuendo that damages the reputations of others or creates doubt about them in the minds of others. We're not going to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord if we don't learn to love each other the way Jesus has loved each one of us. So, step number one, if we desire to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord this coming year, we need to commit ourselves to being faithful to this family of baptized believers. That means we're going to faithfully assemble with this family whenever possible in various gatherings and assemblies. We're going to financially support the work of this church as God enables us and prospers us. And we're going to faithfully commit to loving each other the way Jesus has loved us. Because that's how the world will know who we are and that we belong to Him. All right, two other steps real quick. We're going to go through them real quick. Second step, number two. If we want to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus this coming year, we need to stop talking about how we need to read the Bible more and actually make this the year we start getting into the Word. There was a time, and some of you will remember this. Some of our older members will remember what I'm about to say, or you'll relate to this. There was a time in our history, that of the churches of Christ, that it wouldn't have been uncommon at all to hear someone say about us, someone from outside our fellowship say about us, say what you want about those Church of Christ people, but they know their Bible. There was a time in our history when you might hear someone say something like that about us. They might not agree with us, they might not understand what we were saying, but you would hear something like that, they know their Bible. Now, I don't hear that much anymore. Do you? And even if it was true about us 30, 40, 50, 60, however many years ago that was being said about us, I suspect that's not as true about us now as it was then. Why? Because to be quite honest, folks, a lot of us just aren't getting into the Word much anymore. Which is a real curious thing because the English Bible is now more readily available to us than it ever has been in its history. We have Bibles galore today. We have Bibles printed. We have Bibles on our cell phones, our iPads, our electronic devices. We got Bibles everywhere. But if the people who study these things are knowledgeable about what they're discovering, the truth of the matter is fewer and fewer believers are reading their Bible with every passing year. Got more of them than we ever had, but more of us are reading less than we've ever read out of Scripture. I got a buddy that preaches for a pretty large church down in Tennessee. He was recently in a meeting with the president of Harding University. And apparently they give every incoming freshman there a test to determine how much Bible they know. One of our major Christian universities, every incoming freshman, given a test that assesses how well they know their Bible. I think, if I'm remembering correctly, he told me that the president of Harding University told him the average score on that test out of 100 is 40. Now, this is the best of the best, we might say. Folks who are going to a Christian college. I don't believe that, by the way. We got some of the best right here. But what does that say about us as a people? I think it says that more and more of us are spending less and less time in the Scripture. Now, my simple question is this: how on earth would we expect to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord if we are completely disconnected from the Word of God? So step number two, you want to grow this year? You want to add layers of faith and obedience to your life? You want to grow in your faith and add goodness and knowledge and love and all these virtues that Peter's talked about and Paul talks about in other places? Make this the year you stop talking about how you need to get into the Word and actually start reading Scripture. Pick a gospel. Get a Bible that you can read from and that you enjoy reading from and read it. Pick a gospel and read it as much as you can for a month. And when you finish with that one, pick another one and read it. You know, just start reading about Jesus. Pick a gospel and start reading it. And let the Word of God wash over you and through you and begin to transform you. Read some of the other old stories. Read about Joseph and some of the other characters that we read about in Scripture. Just start reading Scripture. And then, real quickly, step number three, make this the year that you not only read Scripture, but you start putting Scripture into practice. Because you see, it really doesn't do us any good to read it if we're not going to do it. Scripture admonishes us not to be listeners or hearers of the Word of God, but doers of the Word of God, which, if those two aren't tied together, it's not going to work. We can read it every day, but if we don't make an effort to live what we've learned, we really haven't done anything. Jesus pronounced a blessing upon those who hear His words and put them into practice. He called such people wise. And at the same time, He called those who would hear His word but not put what He said into practice, fools. So we've really got a fairly simple choice. We can either be wise or we can be foolish. We can read and commit ourselves to putting into practice what we've read, or we can read and let it go in one ear and out the other. We can be wise or we can be foolish. If we're going to be wise, then that means we've got to not only get into the Word, we've also got to start doing it. We've got to start putting it into practice. So that means we're going to treat each other the way we would want others to treat us. That's what Jesus says. Doesn't do any good to read that if you don't go do it, right? What good does it do to know the golden rule if you don't ever do it? So we've got to start doing it. We got to start treating other people the way we want to be treated. Because that's what Jesus said. Are we want to be wise or we want to be foolish? Which is it? It means we're going to care about the poor. We're not just going to go tell someone, go be warm and well fed. We're going to do what we can to help them be warm and help feed them. Why? Because that's the heart of God. And that's what Jesus said. When did we see you, Jesus? When you fed someone who was hungry, when you gave drink to someone who was thirsty, when you gave shelter to someone who was without, when you gave clothing to someone who was naked, when you did that to the least of these, you did that to me. So we're going to start doing that. We're going to keep our vows. We're going to do what we say we were going to do. We're going to honor that spouse. We're going to keep that vow. We're going to keep our word. We're not going to lie or manipulate. We're going to tell the truth. We're going to forgive those who sin against us, just as God has forgiven us. We're going to embrace opportunities to be witnesses and ambassadors for Jesus. We're going to put in a good word for Jesus out there. We're not just going to sing about Him in here, but we're going to talk about Him out there. Because that's what Jesus people do. They put what they've learned in Scripture into practice. We're going to listen to what the Spirit teaches us. And then with His help, we're going to do it. When we mess up, we're going to ask forgiveness and we're going to do better. But we're going to keep growing. We're going to keep moving. We're going to keep following Jesus and letting Him lead us and guide us. All right, you don't like my plan? Come up with your own plan. Do something to make sure that you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus this year, that you're going to do something to add to your life where you are now so that this time next year you're going to be in a different place. Make a faithful commitment to this church, to this family. Be here when you can. Contribute to what we're doing in this community and across the world, and love each other. Make a commitment to get into the Word this year, and then make a commitment to put into practice what you hear and learn from God. If we'll do that, I think we'll have an effective, productive year for the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we want to grow. We want to walk with You this coming year, and so I pray You'd help us to do that. Help us to take steps, tangible steps, that will draw us closer to You and closer to the image You have for us in Christ. May this church be the hands and feet of Jesus in this community. May we be faithful to You and Jesus, to one another. May we know Your word well, and may we live out that word equally well outside the walls of this building. To Your glory, and to Your honor, and to Your praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine on you and give you peace.